Welcome to That's Orgasmic, a podcast discussing the orgasmic and not so orgasmic moments of all things sex, relationships, and mental health. I am your host, Emily Duncan, and I'm a sexologist who provides online sex coaching sessions to help you cultivate sexual wellness. This podcast is being recorded on Wurundjeri land. We pay our respect to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past and present. We extend that respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today. Please enjoy this episode. Welcome back to That's Orgasmic. I first want to talk about my sunroom. So if you listened to last week's episode, you would know that I've created a sunroom to be able to connect with you all in a different way. I will be answering your sex questions there. So if you're somebody who has a question but doesn't want to book in a whole session, this is the place to do it. I also have been showing like video demonstrations. So like last week, I showed how to pleasure a soft cock with hands and vibrators. So if you're a visual learner, this is a great space. As you would know, I used to be super open and vulnerable on this podcast. I don't really talk about my personal experiences as much anymore. However, I've been giving a lot more of my personal experiences and opinions on Sunroom. So I encourage you to all go check it out. It's 30% cheaper to sign up through the website. So just keep that in mind too if you do want to sign up. But I look forward to connecting with you all through my Sunroom. So I'll have my Sunroom link in the show notes. But I'm so excited today to talk to you about rejection, what it is, why we experience it, and how to deal with it. I actually loved recording this episode. There was just so many, juicy points. I don't know what the right word is. There was so much value, and from start to finish, especially my last tip, I think is so important. So make sure you listen to the end because my last tip was honestly my favorite. But yeah, I really hope that you enjoy today's episode and enjoy hearing about rejection. Rejection sucks. If you are human, you would have experienced rejection, whether it's the job you wanted, a university or college offer, or somebody you're dating. I'm going to be focusing on relationship rejection today, particularly romantic relationships. I don't know about you guys, but for me, this one just hits the hardest. Like, romantic rejection honestly feels like nothing else. So I believe the type of rejection that hurts the most really depends on what we value and our, core beliefs, our subconscious beliefs, and really what we have the lowest self-esteem in. So if your focus and what you value most at the moment is university and that's all you care about, and then you don't get in, that's going to hurt a lot more than the person who doesn't care if they get in or not. The same goes with certain subconscious beliefs. For example, let's say you have the subconscious belief that you're not attractive, that your body is unworthy of love, that if you get rejected while dating, it's because of this. So therefore, if you get rejected while dating, it's going to probably really hurt and activate that subconscious belief. And you may have thoughts of like, if only I was more attractive, if only my body looked like this, if I styled myself like this, I wouldn't have experienced this rejection. And the reason why this core belief also, I think, hurts more in dating is because appearance is often tied to sexual attraction. But let's say you have this same belief that you're not attractive and you go for that university course, that going for that offer, and they don't even know what you look like and you get rejected, this subconscious belief probably isn't going to be activated in this scenario. So I just wanted to highlight that, for us to understand better why certain rejections for us hurt maybe more than others. It's really going to depend on what our values are and our like subconscious beliefs and how that, all interconnects. Rejection is the kind of emotion I find people really feel shame in experiencing, and they want to get it over and done with as quick as possible. So I'm going to discuss a certain type of scenario, and you've probably heard of it happen before, whether it's to yourself, friends, whoever. And it's this situation where you're dating somebody and you're just not quite sure on them. You're not either attracted to them, maybe there's a few red flags, you're just not vibing, whatever, but you just keep persevering because, you know, maybe there's some hope, you want to give them a chance. And then you get to the point where you yourself bring up a conversation about how you're both feeling and how you, I guess, want things to progress. And it's at this point that they reject you. For some reason, this hurts so much when you have somebody that you weren't even really that interested in, but you kept going along with it, and then they reject you. This is something that I find people have so much shame in, and they will come to me or whoever and say, I should have ended things first. I wasn't even attracted to them. My gut told me it wasn't right. Why didn't I end things first? Why did I keep persevering? Why didn't I ghost them? Why didn't I do whatever? And they're like kicking themselves in their guts for being like, why didn't I take the first step to reject them so that I could avoid this experience of getting rejected? And the first thing I want to say in this circumstance, you should recognize and be proud that you brought forward a conversation around how the relationship was progressing. As in today's society, we see so much ghosting. So be proud that you were being a bigger person there. Another thing to think about in this situation is you weren't interested in them. So why does it matter that they're not interested in you? Something to ponder and think about, because I guess when you have somebody that you actually have decided, I don't want you romantically in my life or maybe in my life at all, it doesn't really matter moving forward what they think of you or if they don't want you. Don't know, I just find it really interesting. But anyway, why do we experience rejection? Rejection served as a vital function in our past. We lived in tribes, hunter and gatherers, and if we did things against the tribal norms, we would most likely be, you know, ostracized. Therefore, rejection like acts as this warning system to alert us that we might be at risk of being rejected and then being kicked out of our tribe or worse, maybe dead, who knows. So in today's age, this doesn't really matter as much. Sure, social status is important or can be important, but it isn't like the be all and end all. Like, you can be somebody who has no friends and really that might not impact your life at all, and you can be totally fine with that. But we still have this, you know, this animal brain, this primal brain that can feel irrational. So that's, I guess, where rejection comes from and why we still experience it. Rejection sensitivity disorder is something else I want to talk about. So rejection sensitivity is really how it sounds. It's a personality disposition to interpret, you know, benign or mild negative social cues as like outright rejection. For example, someone doesn't text you back in a few hours and you think, oh my God, they no longer have feelings for me. That's like the kind of idea. Now, this intense experience to rejection isn't just in these like people's heads. Like, this, there's evidence to show that people who experience this experience physiological changes like fight or flight responses. They've also found doing like brain imaging scans that when these people who experience rejection sensitivity see a disapproving facial expression, they will show heightened activity in the areas of the brain that influence blood pressure, decision making, and emotions. So this is a real experience. Now, high levels of rejection sensitivity can be classified as rejection sensitive dysphoria. Some clinicians will think of these two, I guess, diagnoses as the same thing. Others think of them as different due to the intensity. It hasn't been widely studied yet. Doesn't mean it's woo-woo, just hasn't been widely studied. The dysphoria has been linked to mental health conditions such as like ADHD, autism. And this is because, like, for ADHD, for instance, they are people who generally experience a higher emotional reactivity. So basically, you know, rejection sensitive dysphoria is just an intense emotional reaction to perceived criticism or rejection. So that's all the, I guess, the what, the why for rejection. Here's what to do if you experience rejection, how we can deal with it. Number one, allow yourself to feel the emotion. This might suck as a tip. You might not want to hear this, but feel the emotion. If you want to cry, cry. If you feel shit for a day or a week or however long, allow yourself to feel those emotions and let them pass through your body. If you try and suppress them, it's not going to fix the problem. It's just going to delay it, or it's going to manifest in other areas of your life. If you're finding that these emotions are not passing though, or it's starting to significantly impact your daily functioning, especially in the long term, please seek professional help. If you're somebody who struggles to feel their emotions, first thing, let's say even you struggle to identify your emotions, just getting like a list of emotions can be really helpful, and doing a daily check-in of like, okay, what am I feeling? And the reason I say doing a daily check-in is that so then when you are experiencing this feeling of rejection, you can identify what's actually going on for you. So I also have an activity, and this is really good for separating like our emotions and thoughts and building awareness of our body. First thing, our emotions are real, but our thoughts are just thoughts. So like when you have the thought, my body isn't worthy, that is just a thought. It is not fact. So I just, yeah, want to remind you of that. And to do this like activity, I want you to listen to the sensations in your body, identify these, and then identify an emotional thought. For example, I feel nauseous, my stomach is cramping, I'm feeling that my body is not good enough. Another one is my chest feels tight, I'm having a feeling of being unlovable. Another is my heart is beating fast, I'm having a thought that I will never find love again. And as you can see, when I'm talking about the thoughts there, even with the feelings, I'm saying like, I am having a thought, not I am unlovable. I am having a thought that I am unlovable. And this just creates some distance between you and that thought. So that's just something you can try out to, I guess, try and feel the feels and let them pass through you. Tip number two, rejection is redirection. You've probably heard this affirmation or like mantra before, but like it's true. It can be hard to hear, but it really is true. And one, I guess, thing I like to say to think of the macro, to think of the bigger picture here is if you had to experience all of these rejections to find the partner of your dreams, would you do it? I know I would. And everyone I've ever asked this question to says yes, that all of these rejections would be worth it. One, I guess this helps you think of the rejection as temporary, that there will be better options, that there will be people who are more aligned for you. And I think that's a really, I guess, helpful hope that this is all just part of the experience. But like, it's honestly true. If somebody doesn't want you in their life anymore or doesn't want to date you anymore, this is a redirection to the people who do want to people who are more aligned, because you want people who choose you. You don't want to have somebody who's just there, who doesn't want to be with you, but they're just there. Tip number three, advice piece number three, it's about them, not you. I find when it comes to rejection, trying to focus it on the other person, not yourself, can be really helpful. Think about all the times you've rejected somebody. Often it's, you know, because of other things like being too busy, you've got an avoidant attachment and it's being activated and you got to run. Maybe your values don't align. And that doesn't mean that, you know, your values are wrong or their values are wrong. It's just that if you want somebody with the same values, then you're going to leave to go find somebody with the same values. There's, you know, all of these different reasons, and it's about them, not you. And I want to share a personal story. I had someone in my life who rejected me multiple times over 2 years, and we had different lengths of relationship in those 2 years. And every time they either ghosted me or rejected me, unless I got to the ghosting first, but that was only because I could see their rejection coming and it hurt so bad. I also, at this time, had a subconscious belief that I was unattractive because of my body, and more particularly my body weight. I thought I was fat, and because of my fatness, that nobody would love me and nobody would want me. So every time that they rejected me, I thought, if only I was skinnier, then they would want me. If only my body looked different, then they would want me. And I would daydream about them being with much skinnier girls and imagine the type that they were going for, and just went down this spiral like every time for over 2 years. And then one day I was seeing them again and we were playing a drinking game with my housemate, and she asked him, what's your favorite porn to watch? It was like part of the game we were playing. And he said, BBW, big, beautiful women. When I tell you, my jaw nearly hit the floor. Not because of the type of porn he watched, but because for 2 years I had been telling myself he didn't choose me because I was too fat. When in fact, he loved fat women, and I was actually now 20 kilos lighter. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I honestly laughed to myself because I was just like, I've wasted literally years thinking I wasn't good enough for them because I was too fat and made it all about myself and my fatness, when it actually had nothing to do with that. It just turns out they were a shitty person and they just did shitty things. And it was, you know, coming down to things like an avoidant attachment and them just not wanting a relationship. It had nothing to do with my body. And it was just so funny. And it was a really good wake up call, reminder that it's not about us. It's about them. And when it comes to bodies, I actually want to talk about this for a moment, because I think with rejection and romantic rejection and attraction, it's the easy way, like, for us to blame is that we weren't hot enough or our bodies weren't good enough, whatever it is. I find we will jump to those insecurities. But this person, if they're going on multiple dates with you, they already know what your body looks like. And this is something I really struggled with, especially dating off dating apps. You're like, oh, are they going to see me in real life and think I'm fatter than what I am, or this or that, like, you know, stressing about it. They go on a date with you. They want a second date. They know what your body looks like. It is not like some surprise now, especially if you go and have sex. When it comes to just like how your body looks with like body weight and things like that, they know what they're in for. They've seen you clothed. Yes, our bodies might look slightly different naked, but generally speaking, they know what they're working with and they're choosing you. So then if they decide not to be with you after, you know, these dates, it's about them or something else. Like, it's not to do with our bodies. And I guess want to reiterate that, because it's so easy to get into this spiral and then, you know, have these negative thoughts, then be like, I have to go to the gym, then start dieting, gymming, doing all these things, but from a place that's unhealthy. So I just wanted to talk about that, because I find that, yeah, bodies and rejection and like attraction and stuff like that, it's just, it can feel really intense when you have these subconscious beliefs. So tip number 4, write a pros and cons list. You'll probably be surprised that there's more cons than pros, and make sure you include that them not wanting to be in a relationship or not wanting to be with you as a con, because that's a con. I also want you to be really mindful and reflective when you write your pros and cons list. Look at the pros. Are these just traits, pros, things that are the bare minimum, or things that are really easily accessed in other people? Like, they're nice. What does that mean? For starters, nice. They're funny. They made me laugh. They give good cuddles. They're affectionate. They give good head. We have good sex. We have the same value of family, or we have, you know, similar values. Just really these things that you can find really probably quite easily if you look elsewhere. It's just something to be mindful of. Once you write that list, how unique or how special are these pros? Number 5, journal. Get these thoughts out of your head. If you are experiencing rejection, having these thoughts of negative self-worth, anything like that going on, journal, get them out. The more you ruminate, the worse it's probably going to feel. So write down exactly how you're feeling, even if you're feeling shameful about the rejection, whatever it is, write down everything that you're fantasizing, romanticizing, whatever it is, like, you know, if you're being like me and thinking, oh my God, he's now with these skinnier girls or whatever, write it down, write everything out. Hopefully you'll feel so much better. Number six, do something for you. Self-care is so important here. Anytime we're experiencing rejection, whether it's from one date, even just messaging on a dating app and you didn't even make it to a date, to a year, to 5 years, to 10, whatever, do something for you. Feel after like feeling your feels, or as you're feeling your feels, or going between feeling your feels and stepping out of that, go to that dance class, do a sexy dance for yourself, mirror or not, read that book, listen to music, see those friends, go to the gym, do whatever your self-care is. This is really important to just be gentle with yourself and do things for you. Number seven, and my final tip, is surround yourself with people who choose you. Often in Western society, we prioritize romantic love. We will, you know, have our family, our friends, these relationships that we might have had for like 10, 20, 30, 40 years, however long, and they could be such strong connections. But as soon as we have this romantic love, it becomes the priority. It is our like be all or end all. I also find like, you know, we have all these great relationships in our life, but we still have this feeling of not being truly happy or complete unless we have this kind of romantic love. But there are so many other different types of love. And I saw a post on Instagram by The Pleasure Center and Alex at The Pleasure Center. And they discussed the different types of intimacy that we have. And there's this emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, sexual intimacy, and psychological intimacy. And so like the emotional one we could have with friends, physical intimacy with family, sexual with lovers, psychological with colleagues at work, for instance. And maybe you experience all of them with one person or it's mixed and matched. But this just highlights all the different ways that we can experience and access intimacy from different parts of our lives. And I think it's a real flaw of us to put all of this pressure to have one person to fulfill our needs, to have this romantic partner be our best friend, our lover, the person we live with, like our housemate, potentially someone you work with, somebody that you want to connect with, you know, psychologically and with values and all of these things. It's so much pressure and it's setting us up for failure, because then if we experience rejection from this person, our world falls apart. It hurts so bad because it is taking from all of these aspects of our lives. And when we take away the prioritization of romantic relationships, this then allows us to feel deeply into our other relationships. And it also means then, as I said, in the face of rejection, we have other relationships that are stable, other relationships that highlight our importance and our worth. This is also why I think it's really important to work on your relationship with yourself, as this is the one relationship you will have consistently throughout your life that will be there every single day. So the more you can love yourself, care for yourself, be kind to yourself, and tap into these different types of intimacy with yourself, the easier it will be in times of rejection to go inwards and find comfort. And I just think it's really important that we strengthen that relationship with ourselves and the relationships we already have. Prioritize them, love them, nourish them, because, you know, these are people who have been in our lives for years and years and years, and they're probably going to be there for years and years and years. And I find that, you know, in times of rejection, you can really, you know, feed into these other relationships, and everything that you're feeling that you're lacking, or all of these, you know, these negative beliefs, these subconscious beliefs, you're able to challenge them through these other relationships. So that is my episode on rejection. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found something meaningful. If you're currently experiencing rejection, my heart goes out to you, and I hope that this helps ease the process of rejection. So thank you all for listening. As always, please reach out with any comments, questions, or stories, either to my Instagram at thatsorgasmic or my email emilyduncan@thatsorgasmic.com. Please subscribe whatever platform you use to listen to this podcast and leave a review, as I'd love to know what you're thinking. So thank you, Shaggers, and I'll see you next time.